God tells us that He is absolute truth. The Bible is filled with absolute truth from Genesis to Revelation. Absolute truth is where we do not compromise and where we take our stand. Now, you talk about Custer taking his last stand. You talk about our men and women in uniform in Iraq. We've got to make a decision concerning America and the absolute truth of the values that we espouse as a nation. Then we've got to stand on those principles. How much more so when it comes to the Word of God? That's the single biggest issue in the church today, is the matter of absolute truth.
That challenging, encouraging word just came from Dr. Don Wilton, our speaker here on The Encouraging Word radio broadcast. And on this Friday, we're wrapping up a powerful message from Dr. Wilton called The Magnificent Dead. As we close God's Word on this particular element, we'll be in Hebrews chapter 11. I pray you know that we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you anytime, 24 hours a day at our phone line, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online, keyboard to keyboard, at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. Now let's open our hearts and God's encouraging word together with Dr. Don Wilton.
Thank you so much. Take your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. We are still right there in the middle of Moses. And I've come to a fresh understanding that just these few verses from verse 23 to verse 29... I think had I realized it, I could have preached an entire year's series just on these few verses. Moses was a magnificent individual. The magnificent dead. Bible says in verse 23, Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. For by faith he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short while. By faith Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he had seen him who is invisible. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. What an incredible story. When one considers that God would take a sinner like me, like Moses, like you, and that God would use people to such an extent, but it came at a cost. It came at a cost. There was a price. There were decisions that need to be made. Number one, the magnificent dead, like Moses, know what it means to choose between God and man. We've seen that. A choice. I believe as we move into the next generations, I'm becoming more convinced in my heart as an individual, as a father, as a citizen of the United States, as pastor of this church, as a member of the body of Christ, that's going to become increasingly pertinent, that the choice that I make is going to be the choice between serving God or man. Moses did it. God blessed him. Number two, the magnificent dead know what it means to overcome personal difficulties. You know, some of us look at people like this and we look at others and we say, well, goodness me, God just blessed them. Folks, God didn't just bless them. Now, let me tell you why God didn't just bless Moses. Because Moses was a sinner. Just like me, just like you. And sin causes man all kinds of difficulties. And Moses, no different to each one of us, had to overcome a whole series of personal difficulties. Number three, The magnificent dead, like Moses, know what it means to accept responsibility. That's the purpose-driven life. God loves us. Jesus Christ died for us. He died for me. And I'm so glad to tell you that what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me, He'll do exactly the same thing for you. And when He does so, He begins to reveal His place for me. I have to accept responsibility. I've got to accept that. You know, people talk about deadbeat dads. I don't think there's anything worse than a parent who births children and then turns around and walks off. God has told us that He has specific responsibility. I accept that responsibility. I think God has been speaking to me even in these days. I think the Lord has been saying to me, Don Wilton, I called you to be pastor of the First Baptist Church. Do what I've told you to do. Any questions? Not a matter of popularity. Not a matter of if it's this way or that way. God says this is what God birthed, God put in place this church. He's given us a responsibility. Generations long before us picked up the mantle of that responsibility, they did what it took. Can't help just have unbelievable feelings of admiration for this NFL football player, Mr. Pat Tillman, who was killed so tragically in Afghanistan. Not that he is any more unique to anybody else, because all of our people, all of our men and women, they are all heroes, both the living and the dead. But you know, it just gets to me that here's a man who walked away from millions. He just accepted that personal responsibility. As far as our country is concerned, how much more then for someone like me who claimed to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ? Number four. People like Moses, the magnificent dead, know what it means to stand on absolute truth. Now, if you go down to verse 26, you'll see what I mean. The Bible says that by faith, Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ. There's the popularity thing. By the way, do you know that some people, when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and you take a stand for Him, they'll regard you as disgraceful. Some people say, I've never heard anything so silly in all my life. We were in prisons all across Tennessee. Every time I got up to speak after yesterday's teen sang, I'm getting ready to do it with Mirror Image, our student choir, when we go all the way up to Canada and back the end of May, I'm going to tell you something, same thing. I tell those inmates, men and women who are incarcerated, I tell you, I promise you, you give your heart to Jesus right now in this prison. There are people waiting at the doorstep that are going to look at you and they're going to say, I've never heard anything so ridiculous in all my life. What kind of idiot would give his, what? Who needs God? You see, Moses knew what it was to stand on absolute truth. I'm going to submit to you, my friends, that a weak theology is going to result in a weak lifestyle. The two run hand in hand. I'm so grateful God is moving all across America. Churches of every shape and every size, folks. You want to know where I stand on that? Where the name of Jesus Christ is proclaimed and people are coming to know Jesus Christ in churches across the board. I stand there and I celebrate with them. But I am going to tell you that there is a trend in America today, sweeping across this nation, a modern day trend that is tied into the rights of Americans. It's crept into the religious fabric of our society. It's a logical consequence. You know what it is? What we're going to do is we're going to go and start a church. That's the modern thing right now, is go out and start a church. And I'll tell you how we're going to start this church. We're going to start this church with this one thing in mind. We are going to cultivate a church that is going to accommodate you and me. So we're going to just make it as comfortable. Come as you are, get a cup of coffee and bring your picnic basket. We're not going to be concerned about discipleship. We're not going to make any demands on anybody. It's the new y'all-comism that has swept across America today, my friends. There's no more teaching. There's no more systematic preaching from the Word of God. Let's just sit around in a corner and have a sandwich together and call ourselves a church, because the more we can make ourselves to mirror society, the more people are going to agree to come to church. I want to tell you something about Moses. Moses knew what it meant to stand on absolute truth. You know the three issues that the church faces. We've talked about it, and I'll talk about it until God calls me home. The first one is the matter of absolute truth. You got to make up your mind. Despite the pundits and the philosophers and the brilliant minds of our day and age, God tells us that He is absolute truth. The Bible is filled with absolute truth from Genesis to Revelation. Absolute truth is where we do not compromise and where we take our stand. Now, you talk about Custer taking his last stand. You talk about our men and women in uniform in Iraq. We've got to make a decision concerning America and the absolute truth of the values that we espouse as a nation. Then we've got to stand on those principles. How much more so when it comes to the Word of God? That's the single biggest issue in the church today, is the matter of absolute truth.
Thank you so much, Dr. Don. You have been listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word. And we'll be back with much more of this great message in just a moment. But we interrupt to remind you, we're here for you. We're connecting right now, keyboard to keyboard, on our website, theencouragingword.org, and on this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And right now, so many folks are calling and visiting the website about the promises of praying for others, a wonderful resource that will help build your faith and strengthen your power in prayer. Again, it's online at theencouragingword.org, or call us at 866-899-WORD. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
The second thing is the matter of personal conviction. Everybody has personal convictions. I've got so many, I'd keep you here all day, but I can never impose my personal convictions on the church as absolute truth. And the third is the matter of personal preference. I'll guarantee you, at least somewhere today, we're a unified church, but in your heart, I'll guarantee you there's at least one or two people here today that there's something that you didn't like about today. Doesn't suit your personal preference. Maybe it's a song we sang, or the way we sat, or the way we welcomed, or what I said, or what so-and-so said. I mean, there's some, because we are a people of personal preference. Do you know that many churches today are not being built on absolute truth? They're being built on personal preference. Folks, do you know how many people pack up their bags and run from one church to the next? You know what they do? They're in pursuit of their personal preferences. They're not in pursuit of absolute truth. And I'm going to tell you, when Paul the Apostle wrote his pastoral epistles, he said to Timothy, if there is anything that you need to do, it is to preach the Word of God. Be instant in season and out of season. That's absolute truth. What does it mean? It means there can be no variation from the Word of God. It means there can be no deviation from the Word of God. It means there can be no capitulation in terms of the Word of God. It means there can be no isolation of the Word of God. And it means there can be no intimidation as far as the Word of God is concerned. I believe in America today, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come that those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and those of us who have been transformed by the power of the Spirit of the living God, that we be willing to stand up and be counted for righteousness' sake. Number five, the magnificent dead like Moses know what it means to just do it. Now, I love this point. Look at verse 27. Boy, verse 27 is the one that just gets all over me. Here's what it says. By faith, Moses left Egypt. Any questions? Nike says that. Just do it. That's where they got their caption from, I'll guarantee you. Just do it. Goes all the way back to Brother Moses. Just do it. Moses knew what it meant to just do it. What does it mean, folks? What do you mean God spoke to Moses, the son of Pharaoh's daughter? God gave him a mission. God doesn't tell all of us to leave our homes. God doesn't tell all of us to leave our country. God doesn't tell us all the same thing, but whatever it is God is telling us to do it, He's telling us to just do it. What does it mean? What did it mean in terms of Moses? It meant, my friends, that there was no hesitation. It meant, secondly, there was no hovering. Have you ever met a hoverer? I remember crossing the English Channel one time. My wife and family, we took the hovercraft. It's got like a big balloon underneath it. We boarded that thing in France and blah, 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 all across the English Channel. By the way, it's an awful ride. Don't do it. Well, have you ever met something that's neither a boat nor a motor car? Do you know, folks, that there are some people who love the Lord Jesus Christ? You're neither a boat nor a motor car. You're just a hoverer. Means there was no hesitation, there was no hovering, and number three, there was no hankering. I don't find any record in Scripture. And here was Moses, he left Egypt. He didn't hesitate, he didn't hover, and he didn't hanker. He didn't look over his shoulder and say, gee, man, I wish I hadn't left that. You know, many of us as believers, we say, God, you've spoken to us, and here we go. And then we turn and we walk around with our heads pointed backwards all the time. God says, look ahead, run the race, fix your eyes on the prize. Fight the good fight of faith. Number six, the magnificent dead, like Moses and like so many people that you and I have met, know what it means to keep on keeping on. Well, I love that part there in verse, second part of verse 27. Not only did he leave Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, but he persevered. I wish I could take a survey here today. I'm not going to do that because my hand has to go up first. But I wonder if there's anyone here today that's already given up. You lost your true love, your first love, you're persevering. It's jolly hard work. Like many men here, I served in the armed forces, but overseas, under a different flag. I remember recruited right out of high school, 3 days out of high school. I'm on a troop train. Went through 6 months of boot camp. That's what we had back then, 1969, 70, 71. 6 months, and I was put in the officer's training unit, the School of Armor, Panzerschule. Trained in a combat unit, heavy armor. There were 325 of us who went into the officer's training unit of the School of Armor. I've never been so scared in all my life. By the way, we didn't have any recourse in those days where we were, not living under a totalitarian government like I did. We couldn't go and say, listen, I'm going to tell mommy you touched me. Boy, we've cultivated a group of namby-pambies. Can't do this, don't do that, won't do that. Somebody looks at you the wrong way. Man, you go and speak to some of the men in uniform that served in this sitting here. Now, I'd like to call Colonel Ted Ballard up here. One of my heroes. Boy, I love that man. I'd like to call Colonel Ted Ballard and ask him, listen, in all those years in the Hanoi Hilton, did you ever say when you were hanging upside down, I'm going to tell mommy? I tell you, folks, they beat us up there. One of the things they would make us do is crawl through what are called devil thorns in Africa. They big, thick. Some of you that have been on safaris, you know what they are. They big thorns like that. And we had to do leopard crawl across these things, time without number, and we weren't allowed to move. So these big thorns would jab into our body all over the place and break off. And then they'd begin to fester and form pussy sores all over your body. And after 3 months, they gave me 2 days out of the military. After 3 months, I was in the unit about, I don't know, 300 miles from home or whatever, and I had to hitchhike. And I couldn't get a ride. I stood out all night from Friday afternoon, 5 o'clock, when they dropped me off. All night, just stood on the highway in my uniform. It was freezing cold. I had a great coat on. Got a little ride for a couple of miles and stood in a place called Alawal North, right in the middle of Africa. And I remember standing there and I could see a car coming. This is Africa, folks, not America. One car would come by kind of every hour or so. And I would see the lights from way over there, straight past me. And I was so good looking, I couldn't understand why they wouldn't stop. Finally made it home, 6 o'clock Saturday night. You know what my mother did? She had to lie me down with a pair of tweezers. She spent about an hour and a half taking out these devil thorns from all over my body. I was full of pus all over. You say that's just horrific. Next morning, I had to get in and hitchhike to go back, to get back, because we had to be there by 12 that night. We were being shipped up to the front. It was unbelievable. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, when God called Moses, he didn't say to him, I'm going to give you a bed of roses. He said, Moses, stand up. I want you to go and confront Pharaoh, the mightiest man in the world. I want you to get up and go. What was it that kept him getting up and going? He persevered. Why? Because he had seen him who is invisible. His eyes were upon Almighty God. Wow. What's it all about? Keeping on, keeping on. Means keeping on despite not knowing the future. It means keeping on according to Moses despite the threats on his life. Moses persevered, number three, despite the radical change in his circumstances. Folks, when Moses took a bath, he had no smelling salts or sweet stuff to put in there anymore. That's what he did. He didn't know the future. He got bombarded with every kind of threat, and he underwent radical change, but he persevered. Never stopped, because he had seen him who is invisible. Number seven. The magnificent dead know what it means to obey without question. This account here in verse 28 about the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, wish I had time to give you all the details. But there were three things that happened. Moses saw their predicament. Moses heard God's instructions. And Moses carried out God's commandments. Now, those are three fundamental principles concerning the disciple of Christ. That's what made this man magnificent in God's sight. We got to understand he found himself in the middle of Egypt. There was tremendous opposition. Pharaoh was strutting around all over the place. But he saw their predicament. Are we crying for our Jerusalem today? Beloved ladies and gentlemen, can you see our young people in their predicament? We say we love our young people, but can we see their predicament? Listen, I celebrate with all our kids. Love them, man. I celebrate the proms last night. I bet they had a good time. But I'll guarantee you there is at least one teenager looking at me right now that your predicament last night had to do with alcohol and you didn't pass the test. I'll guarantee you that. Do we see the predicament? Or what does God say about it? Are we going to stand up as men and women? Are we going to be counted for righteousness? Are we going to show our people what real love is? Do you know that increasingly today in our modern society, folks, not only are young people succumbing, but many of their parents are agreeing with them. He saw their predicament. He heard. He knew what God was telling him. He carried it out. All right, number eight. The magnificent dead know what it means to see the mighty hand of God. I love this part in verse 29. Boy, did he know what it meant to see the mighty hand of God. You know what I'm starting to pray about, folks? That you and I are going to see the mighty hand of God. Now, what about this? The mighty hand of God, according to the life of Moses, was revealed at a moment of great faith. Did you notice that in verse 29? Here they came up against this unbelievable obstacle, the Red Sea. Here comes the army of Pharaoh. People are in a panic. Some people are saying, let's turn back. And you have a demonstration of faith like you and I cannot imagine. And in the midst of the mighty hand of God coming down, we see faith in action. When does God put down his hand upon his people? At moments of great faith. Folks, we need to be men and women of great faith, but there's something else we can't leave alone, because if the mighty hand of God was revealed in a moment of great faith, the mighty hand of God was also removed at a moment of godless opposition. I fear that in America today, folks, we continue the godless opposition. As far as God's concerned, do you think God might just take his mighty hand off us? Or are we going to be people of great faith? Is God's clarion call to us to rise up, O men of faith? Stand up and be counted.
What a great Friday challenge. Finishing off this week with Dr. Don Wilton, are you ready to stand up? Am I ready to stand up and be a people of faith? as the Lord has stirred each of us to a particular time of decision. Is it something you'd like to share with us? You know, if God has stirred your heart in a deep way, we would love to pray with you about the next step. You can connect with us right now on our phone line at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. But before we get away, a closing thought from our chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name, my friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If the Lord has spoken to you through Dr. Don today, don't let this moment pass without drawing a line in the sand, without making that decision firm. You need to tell somebody. And Dr. Don would say, tell us. You can write him, email him right now at Don, D-O-N, at theencouragingword.org. Or give us a call and let us pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. It's a place where a lot of folks are coming to pick up this great resource about the promises of praying for others.
Across America, there are different views on when life begins and when it should end. What do you believe? What does the Bible say? When does life really begin? Join Dr. Wilton as he teaches biblical truths with compassion straight from God's Word in his classic and timely message, The Sanctity of Human Life. Plus, you will receive two bonus gifts, Why Pro-Life and Counterculture in a World of Abortion. These powerful ministry resources will help equip you with the facts to see life through the lens of God's Word. Request The Sanctity of Human Life, a classic and timely message on CD, and the bonus gifts for your gift of any amount to The Encouraging Word today. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org.